we look at Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. We spoke on that last week. We talked about the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. When you realize that, when the revelation or the truth of the word comes into your life that the Lord is your shepherd, you realize that all your wants are taken care of. All the things that you're going through in your life are taken care of. And the need and the structure of what's going on in your life is taken care of. And those are so important that we understand these things. And then when we see that he makes us lie down in green pastures, we find rest. There's food there. We ourselves can feed on the Word of God every day. That feeds us. You know, I hunger for God's Word every day. I read God's Word every day. And I think it's important to get the Word in you so you know how to respond to the things that come at you. Did you hear what I just said? To get the Word in you so you know how to respond to the things that come at you. How to respond back to people. What to do with situations and circumstances that may overbear you. That may weigh you down or burden you in such a way that you can't move forward and you don't know what to do. And then we talked about being led by the still waters and at that peaceful place, that the ability to understand that there you can get a drink and you can understand what that means. And so you're on this journey. You find your soul is restored. And for his name's sake, he leads us down the paths of righteousness. You know, we find ourselves there at an understanding that he is leading us on this journey. We're not leading Jesus. We're not saying to Jesus, follow me at all. Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus. Amen. We are following the Lord. We are literally walking after the steps on our journey that he has given us to walk upon. And with that said, we have this most beautiful area in our life to know that we have this blessing that he gives us. And then we come to the point, and I want to stay with this today, on the part of where it states, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, there are places that we come to that we have to understand that God's with us even in those dark places. And oftentimes people are always questioning on their journey, where's God at? I need him. It's never about where God is, it's always about our distance from him. That we put a distance from him. Instead of drawing close to him, we put ourselves at a distance. You can look at it as though maybe that there is a time that you just feel like you're going to be so much a Christian and that's all. In other words, you're putting yourself at a distance from the Word. You're putting yourself from a distance of how God wants us to live. You're beginning to write your own rules. And, you know, this is the rule book that I'm going to follow. And I'm going to mirror what I need to mirror to the Word of God. But I'm going to have my kind of private life. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to kind of say that this sin's okay for me to do. I'm going to be at a distance. So on my journey, I'm beginning to switch places with the Lord. I'm going to begin to lead him into the life I want to lead and want him to follow. And we find ourselves sometimes in a place where we have not ordered in our life. And we forget that he said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. When you woke up this morning, he was there. When you lay your head on your pillow this evening, he'll be there. And when you're sleeping, He'll be there. He protects you from the evils of this world if you would allow Him to do that and walk in faith in the direction that He has given you to go. That ultimate trust in God to say, Lord, I trust You no matter what. I believe in You no matter what I'm going through. I know that You are there with me. So we come now to part two of this particular series. And this part is entitled, The Journey, The Valley. No one likes the valley. Everybody likes the mountaintop. Everybody likes to see what's going on. You know, some people go and they get caught up in crowds. And they all of a sudden find themselves not being able to see over the person in front of them. And they're trying to look around and everything, and they get a little bit bummed out that everybody else is seeing everything, you know. And have you ever gone to like a theater, or have you ever gone to a place to where the person sitting in front of you was taller than you, even when they were sitting? And so you were like doing this the whole night, like this. Going like that, looking from side to side, trying to get a view of what was going on, because it was uncomfortable that you were unable to see what was going on. And sometimes we want to make ourselves known even when we don't even realize that we're trying to make ourselves known to somebody who doesn't know us. So what do you mean by that? You know, when I was pastoring, Kathy and I were pastoring in Geneva, Illinois, for 5 years, they did a film there, an old film that was remade called The Sons of Perdition, or The Road to Perdition. Road to Perdition. And literally, it was there, and Tom Hanks was and Jude Law were starring in that, and they actually did this right in the town that we were in. Right there. And so,
near our house
and everything, and you know, I'm not starstruck. You know, I don't really think about it. And you know, there was the place where they had their trailers. And so all these people were down there. So I walked down there to kind of get into what was happening, see what it was like to see. And Tom Hanks was in his trailer, and everybody was waiting. They'd been waiting an hour for him to come out of his trailer and get into an old 1922 Ford Roadster or whatever it was and get in there, some sort of an old car. I can't remember the make or the year right now, but it was old. And he came out. And he got in the car and started going. All the people started going, Tom, Tom, like that. And I found myself going, Tom, 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 like that. And then he got out and he was waving at everybody. And I went to myself, he doesn't know me. And I don't know him. See, we get so caught up sometimes in what the world wants us to be like. We start crying out to the world, and the world does not know us. And we should not be known of the world.
Yeah.
And I put my hand down. I felt like really silly. You know, I'm thinking like, I'm sure he went home that evening or when he got back to Hollywood and said to his wife, I saw Dennis. Dennis was in the crowd waving. And she said, oh, really? Did you tell him I said hello? No, that didn't happen, you know. He was just a kind man being nice to the people or the fans that got in. But I got caught up in that. And I realized at a point to share that spiritually, we get caught up in things. Because the world draws us into some sort of an excitement. You know, it wasn't that I could see everything clearly. I just got caught up in what was going on. So in your valley, be careful you don't get caught up in something that does not pertain to you. So you can get a glimpse of maybe something that would make you feel comfortable in the darkness that you're going through. So this valley literally is saying to us, we learn to walk in dark places. I'm not here to say to you that any doom or dismay or discouragement. I want you to be highly inspired and highly encouraged. But I will say that everyone goes into the valley. Everyone goes through dark places. No one's immune to that when you walk with the Lord. I know people want to preach that those things don't happen to Christians. That's not true. You know, when you go through struggles in Christianity, that's normal. It's part of living for God. When you go through tough times, when you read the Bible from page 1 all the way to the last page, from Genesis to 1 to Revelation 22, when you read all that's spoken in the Bible, you see people going through hard, difficult, dark valleys to serve the Lord. And they realize that God is not non-existent. He is there. And they find themselves a distance from Him where they need to be drawing close to Him. The Bible says in the book of James, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. Amen. Draw close to God, and He's going to draw close to us. We don't say, God, draw close to me, and then I'll draw close to you. We need to know that God wants us to be with Him, and we need to understand that we need to make that step. We need to draw to Him. So we find ourselves in deep darkness. Sometimes it's a shadowy darkness. Other times it's maybe murky. You can see a little here and a little there. But then there's those places you go when you're walking with God and it's a dark valley and you're there. Let me tell you, let me encourage you to do something when you're there. Pray. Yes. Seek the face of God. Look for the Lord. Look for His hand to be upon your life. Know that He is leading you, even though you may not see Him. The shepherd that you first read about, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, who leads me by green pasture, by the still waters, who restores my soul, leads me down the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, is the same one. Because it went from He, now He says, you are with me. He's there. You may not see Him. And it may be time where you, it's a time of where you're wondering if fear is dictating to you and your faith is running low. It is because God wants you to know that He is there no matter what you're going through. He is there and He will protect you. Say with me, He will protect me.
He will protect me.
I wish you would have said it like you meant it. He will protect me. He's going to be there for me. He's not going to let me go through something that I can't handle. His rod and His staff, which I'll speak of in a moment, it will protect me. It'll be there. He will comfort me because of His presence and His protection. I am comforted that no matter what I go through, the Lord God is there with me. Jesus is there with me. The Holy Ghost of the living God surrounds me. He's in me. The fire of His power burns within my heart, and there I will conquer. Even in the darkest place, I will come out the victor because Jesus is my shepherd. Amen.
Amen.
Someone preach with me today. Literally, He is there. He cares for us. Certainly, the journey's simpler when we can see with our eyes. It really is. It's really nice to be able to see what's going on around you in your journey, and it's good. But then you come to that place spiritually now, where you may be able to see physically, but spiritually it gets dark. I know I'm ministering to some of you. I know what I'm saying to my heart. It gets dark. You weep. You cry. You pull back. You put on a show. You put on a show when you get out there in front of people. You put on some sort of a Facebook face, but you're going through darkness. You're hurting. You're in pain. But the world sees you as, yay, I'm all right. But inside, you're as far from being all right as you can be. You're in a dark, lonely place. And sometimes we get caught up in our Facebook face and our public face, and we forget to give praise to the one who's leading us through the darkness. We find our comfort in our Facebook face, in our Twitter face, in our Tumblr face, in our Instagram face, and we get away with our social face, but we forget that in our hearts we are going through something that is intolerable, and we're looking for deliverance, and we're stopping, not counting on God. We're counting on the public around us. Right. Hear me, church. It's important. Never forget that He is with you. I was in a minister's gathering. Ministers outside our movement. A gathering of ministers and of men only. And they gave a list of 10 sins. And all the men were there and they were going, And I was going, And this guy from outside this city was visiting, and he had just opened a church there, and he was coming in to visit the church to see how it was going. And he looked across the room at me, and he said, "So, you don't have any of those 10 sins in your life?" I said, "No, I don't." Well, he got upset with me. He got angry that I didn't have one of the 10 sins that were listed on his ice cream cone list of "you're a bad boy." And I said, "No." He said, "You tell me that you go traveling around and you're speaking engagements and you're in that hotel room all alone and you're not watching something on that TV because you're alone?" I said, "Sir, you've riled me now. And that's not a good thing, to rile me." I said, "Number one, I'm not alone in that hotel room, let me remind you. My wife may be home. She may be taking care of the household. She may be with the children when they were younger. She makes sure that everything's going right with the church. She's there counting and making sure everything is going to be okay when I get home. I may be alone in your eyes, but in my eyes, it's me and Jesus in that hotel room. And I am not going to turn on the TV and watch something that is going to cause sin in my life." He got angry. I got up. I left. You see, people want to draw you in to their comfort of their darkness. Don't do that. Not everybody may be going through what you're going through. Don't draw them in to what you want them to be part of. For why? What is it? Thank you, Will, for answering or asking me that question. Let me answer that for you. So you won't be comfortable with that. Instead of realizing you need to be comfortable with only one, and that is comfortable knowing that the Lord, our Savior, is there protecting us, providing for us, encouraging us. He is our greatest fan. He's there. It's not how many likes you get. It's not how many comments you get. It's about Jesus. Even in the silence of His presence, in the silence of His love, hear me now, yes, there is victory.
Amen.
Yes.
When you know that He's in that valley with you. Sometimes you go through things that you weren't even aware of was going to happen. Sometimes you can pinpoint, if I wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have ended up here. But there are often times where you just are led by the Lord into the valley so he can mature you and he can help you and you can find yourself there. And it may be dim, it may be bleak, and your vision may be not even clearly be able to see before your hands. I'm talking about a deep darkness. Have you ever gone into your prayer closet, or have you ever gone into a closet, or have you ever gone into an area, maybe an amusement park, and into the fun house or something, or that where there's that place where it gets so dark that when you put your hand in front of your face, you cannot even see your hand 2 inches from your eyes. That's the darkness I'm talking about. That's that place where you are crying out to God, asking questions, and those answers aren't coming because God is taking you to a place to mature you and to mold you and to shape you, because you once prayed a prayer, a true word prayer that God always hears. Use me. Use me. And he doesn't answer. Then something begins to dictate. It's not your friend. It's somebody you don't want in your repertoire of tools. It's somebody that you don't want around at all, ever. But that friend that you now are listening to as though it was your best friend, Mr. or Mrs. Fear, begin to dictate to you and be declare to you that you are a failure, that you're never going to make it, and people are never going to forgive you, and you're never going to be able to be the person that you desired to be. And that's why you're out there in that public social world making it look like everything's all right. I have a word for you. God sees you as all right. You don't need the world to see you as all right. You need the world to see you as someone who is sold out to God, whether on the mountaintop or in the deepest valley, because he is your king. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise his mighty name forever. Faith and prayer should reign in the valley. Faith and prayer. The same faith you had when you walked to that altar that day. All emotional, all caught up in the anointing. And you said to God, I'm ready. I'm not running any longer. I'm ready. I'm there. I'm not going to stop. I'm there. I'm part of this kingdom work, God, I'm there. The same faith when you first got saved, when you got saved and you walked out of the church from the altar, or out of the home from where you got saved, out of a home Bible study group, or maybe at a coffee shop, however it may have happened for you, and you walked out of there and you looked at the world and you said, here I am, look out. Amen. That same faith, that same conquering faith, where fear ran when it saw you coming. Where failure was dismissed. Frustrations were released. Futilities weren't even in the memory banks anymore. You were fearless. Successful. Fruitful. Abundant in God's mercy, for when you were lost, but God, who was rich in mercy, you got saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest you should boast. It is a gift from God. You are fearless. Amen. You're living a life out loud. You truly believe. Look at me. I'm born again, spirit-filled, baptized with the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm speaking in tongues. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm laying hands on the sick and they are being healed. Praise God, everything's going on. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling called. I've answered the call, praise God, and I didn't hang up. I kept them on the phone. It's happening. I'm feeling good. I'm fearless. When you're in the valley, that should be your testimony. You're there. Because let me remind you of a few scriptures, may I? May I just remind you of a few scriptures that I know you shout about? You never pout about these. You shout about these. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's a shout, amen? The Bible says that he's a shield about me and the lifter of my head. That's a shout there, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's always there. Psalm 138:7, though I walked in the midst of trouble, you preserved my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. How many still believe in deliverance? I do. Deliverance from sin. Deliverance from the evils of this world. Deliverance from the powers and the shackles of the devil. Deliverance from addictions. Deliverance. God knows how to deliver.
Amen.
Are you preaching with me today? Psalm 143:3a, when my spirit faints within me, you know my way. I'm in that darkness and my spirit's fainting within me. I want you to know he knows your way. He's led you there. You didn't go there on your own. He led you there. He's taken you to a place to where you prayed. He's taken you where? To a place where you can be prepared to be able to do what you prayed for.
Thank you, Jesus.
God knows your heart. He knows what you can take and what you can't take. He knows what you're prepared for and what you're not prepared for. He knows what you need to be able to be complete in what you asked for. Everybody say, I want to be complete. You just surrender to the darkness of the valley because you want to be complete. Now, if you don't want to be complete, you didn't surrender to the darkness of the valley. You're just going to walk through life and everything's going to be just bright and shiny. Bright and shiny. But God wants to take you to a place where he can mold you and shape you and help you. Oh, preacher, please, why did you say those last few lines? I was all expired till now. Now I feel like I'm going to expire. Let me tell you something. God wants you to be prepared to be able to do anything that he asks for you to do without fail.
Amen.
Without fail. It's so powerful. I found something in Psalm 1. I really love this. It opens by saying, Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. I love that because I was praying. I said, Lord, I need to go on a journey this week again. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to be reminded of Psalm 1:1, the journey that some people take. They want to go ahead and they want to find counsel from the world. They want to stand in the same path that sinners go. And they literally want to seat and sit with the scoffers who mock the kingdom of God. Remind them, he said, that the journey that I want them on, the journey that I have created for them, their destiny that I am giving them, does not allot them to go down the path of the wicked, the path of the sinner, the path of the scoffer. He said, my delight in thy heart is when I see them knowing that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
Yes.
That's the journey I want them to be on. To walk down this road of being full of God's love and full of God's power, even in the dark times. I'm not here to tell you that the valley of darkness is a fun place. It's not a recreational time. It's not standing in line waiting for the next roller coaster to come by or the next Ferris wheel to go around. It has nothing to do with that. It's not waiting in line to get into your favorite restaurant or the favorite movie that you've waited to see and you bought tickets way in advance. It's not like that. It's like a place where you're there. Difficult times come. I'm here to remind you by the Lord and the Holy Spirit of the living God that when you are there in the valley, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother that's there with you. There is a king who stepped out of glory and walked down the Via Della Rosa and died the death called Calvary's cross. He sacrificed himself. The Lamb of God was slain from the foundations of the world. He himself, not an angel, not a representative, but he himself, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Hallelujah. Doesn't say his representative is there. Doesn't say somebody he has assigned to you. Doesn't say your guardian angel is there. Doesn't say your mama's there, your papa's there, your brother's there, your family's there, your cousin's there, your high school coach is there, your college professor is there. Doesn't say anything at all about anybody. It says, thou, Jesus, yes, is with me. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Psalm 16 and A. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Consider David's prayer here. Just a particular line of it in Psalm 25 and 4. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Wow. Have you ever prayed that? You have. If you read the psalm, you're reading the prayer, and you're excited about that. You're saying, see, this is what's funny about folks. They read it, and they say, wow, David really went through it. If you want to make it through the valley with the Lord, you need to have the faith of David, who wrote this psalm. Are you hearing me this morning? Is everybody here? Because I see people kind of looking like they're getting glossy eyed, you know, and it's only 10 after 12. Some folks have yawned 3 or 4 times. I know you just got back from a meeting, but let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you today you're on a journey. And I'm letting you know what may happen in your journey. You may be there right now in a dark place. Pastor Dennis, have you ever been in the valley? Oh, yes, I have. Yes. How deep did you go? So deep that I think I reached bottom. I felt it a little bit. And then he pulled me out. Dark, bleak, no vision, only a hope.
Amen.
That his promises, Ed, are sure and steadfast.
Yes.
And he surrounds me with angels and campeth around me, and they delivereth me out of all my troubles because I fear and trust the Lord.
Yes.
Praise his holy name. Somebody, would you for a moment just praise him? Thank him. Give glory to his name. Isaiah knew of the promises of the Lord and what it meant to trust him just by what his word stated. Another shouting verse. Isaiah 43 and 2. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And I like this last part of it. Nor shall the flame scorch you. Praise God. He's there. Nothing will harm you.
That's right.
Nothing will be there. You know, I'm going to close here, but I want to tell you a story, and then I'm going to close. A story found in Matthew. And chapter 14, you don't need to turn there. It's a familiar story. Story of the disciples being alone in the darkness in a boat with waves thrashing against the side. The boat being thrown like just a balsa wood boat in heavy storms. Just tossed and they're afraid. They had just seen miracles. But now their Savior, in their mind, wasn't with them. He was off praying. How dare he? He was doing what he did. He went from prayer meeting to miracle, to prayer meeting to miracle, from prayer meeting to miracle, from prayer meeting to miracle. He was born in miracles. He was found in the temple at 12. Leading the scribes and the scholars and the Sadducees on what the law is all about, because he is the law. Prayer meeting to miracle, from 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 prayer meeting to Garden of Gethsemane, to torture, to scourging, to humiliating, to being spat upon, to being beaten and kicked, and his hair being pulled out of his head, nailed to a cross, that you and I today can say, I know who I am.
Amen.
I know my identity. Even in the valley, you should be able to say, I know who I am. I know my identity. I know that I am his and he is mine.
Yes.
Amen. He's coming out in the water now. They say it's a ghost. Sometimes we recognize the presence of Jesus as something that it is not. Peter said, I think it's the Lord. He said, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come. In other words, this is what he was saying. If it's you, Lord, I don't want to be on the journey of this boat in this storm. I want to go out and on the journey that you're on in the storm. You're walking above the storm. You're walking through the storm. The storm is not touching you. Bid me to come out to where you are, because where you are gives me more protection than this boat can. Somebody in here has to understand. I didn't come by to preach this message just to preach, because I almost didn't preach today. I almost asked, you know, someone else to preach today. I almost felt like, you know, I got in late last night. I had a lot of things I had to do. Got about an hour's worth of sleep last night. These things were just, I was just wrestling the enemy last night. But I tell you, I know why now. Because somebody is in here listening to this message. You need to say, God, I want to be where you're at. Because when I'm trying to find protection, it's not going to give me the protection and the perseverance and the guidance that you can. Call me out onto what your journey is. Call me out there. Because I'm in a dark place. I'm burdened. You're so burdened that it's hard to get up in the morning. You're so burdened that even though you smile, you're crying. But I'm here to tell you today that God is taking you through something, and the results of that darkness, the results of that valley, your tears are going to turn into joy. Your mourning will return to laughter. Your praise will now be the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. You will be covered by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost of the living God. He walked out there. He sunk. Wow. What a reward. No, he sunk because he started looking at his valley, not at the Lord. He started looking at his valley. He saw what wind could do. He forgot that he was supposed to look right at the Lord and see what the Lord could do. You know, he actually walked on the water. But then he saw, the Bible says that he saw the wind. So that tells me, Selena, that tells me that he was looking at the Lord. Then he looked and he saw the wind. And when he took his eyes off the Lord, he sunk. But listen, Jesus did something that you want. I want you to hear me. Are you with me?
Yes.
Jesus did something. I want you to listen to this. Jesus spoke a word into his life. That word was come. He deposited his word into Peter. And when God deposits a word in you, he is going to protect you because you're carrying his word.
Amen.
That's why he reached down and picked him up. I said he reached down and picked him up. Now Jesus is walking on the water. He wasn't a big, giant bully of a man. Jesus wasn't. Some preachers like to say he was just big old muscle bound. That's why nobody messed with him. You know, those carnal preachers, I don't know where they're coming from. The reason he walked through the crowd is because he just said, I'm coming through the crowd. And when the word spoke, they all stepped back.
Right.
I'm coming through the crowd. I'm not running from the crowd. I'm the Savior of the world. I'm coming through the crowd. Peter was a burly man, big, strong fisherman. And his personality wasn't an A personality. He was a triple A personality. He was a guy that just had to say what was on his mind no matter what. I mean, you have to be that kind of a guy if you're going to tell Jesus you're not going to Jerusalem because I'm in your way right now. Jesus reached down, standing on the water, reached down into the sinking of a huge man, being tossed now by what he saw. His problems had him. He was being tossed by his problems and the fears and the failures, the frustrations, the futilities. He was spinning and spinning. He was in the water. He was wet.
Yes.
Picked him up. Because he was reaching down, protecting his investment.
Yes, thank you.
You have been invested by the Lord with the word of God.
Yes.
So even in the midst of that valley, he's there. He's got that rod to, big old bulky rod it was too. It wasn't just a little flimsy thing. It was a big old bulky rod with a big head on the end of it, and he would beat off the enemies. Those who were coming towards the sheep, he would beat them back and beat them back where they couldn't get to the sheep. Then he would take his staff and nudge the sheep along the right path. Let me tell you something. He wants you to know that he has spoken a word to you, and you said yes. He said come, and you said I will. You were on the boat of the world and you stepped out into the waters of his word. Hallelujah. And me, you may begin to sink, but he reaches down and picks you up. And wherever he steps into, he owns. So it went from the world being tossed to and fro to Jesus on the ship. And he said, peace be still. How dark can it get? I can only say this. The darker the shadow, the closer the Lord. What an opportunity you have. What an opportunity that you have to be in that place alone with Jesus. You're alone with Jesus. Stop inviting your friends there. Because they don't know what you're going through, even though they act like it. No idea. Your darkness is your personal darkness. It's your personal valley. The Lord is my shepherd. We shall not want. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. No, it's first person. It's you and Jesus. You and Jesus. You see, preacher, I've never been in the valley. Maybe you will be. I'm not prophesying that. I'm not saying you will be. But if you're following the Lord, I'm heading that way to Jesus above. You're going to find yourself in darkness. You remember this preacher. You remember what I've said to you today. He is there with you even in the silence of His love. He is protecting you and guiding you. And next week I'm going to share something with you that's going to be powerful about the enemy. Amen. I pray today that you understand that you're on a journey. You're on a faith walk. You're on a walk with God. You are on a walk, walking towards your destiny. Here's my challenge. Here's my question. I hope you respond. Are you heading towards your destiny? And will you continue to walk towards your destiny, even in the toughest of times? Even when it seems that you're not being used like you prayed. You don't feel fulfilled. Don't get fleshy on God. If I never spoke again, if I never ever spoke again, if I was in the valley now, I would just be so glad that I'm walking towards my destiny and that I know who I am, I know my identity, and I know that He is mine and I am His. I know this. Yes. It's not a song to me, which is a good song, but it's a reality to me. Right. That the only important to me in this area that I'm talking about is knowing that He is with me. Where are you today? Where are you today in your destiny? You could be at the beginning of the start of your destiny. You could be almost to the end of your destiny. You could be midway in your destiny. But the important part is that you're walking in the journey of your destiny. It's your journey. It's not my journey. I've got my journey. And one of the funniest things about it is so many people want to walk in somebody else's journey.
Yeah.
And here, thank you, Holy Spirit. I have to say this. And that's what sometimes when you invite people into your darkness, you're inviting them into your journey, and it makes your journey more difficult. Walk with the Lord. He's all I need. There's a song that we sing, He's all I need. He's everything to me. He's my all in all. He's the King of kings and the Lord of glory. And listen, he will share his glory with no one.